For our devotion tonight, you may open your Bible to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We all know how much Paul thought of the church at Philippi, and we know how much the church at Philippi thought of the Apostle Paul. If you could say that he had a favorite church, it would have had to have been the church at Philippi, and we read the 16th chapter of the book of Acts in regard to the establishment of the church in Philippi. We also learn how the Apostle Paul, even under great duress, was able to carry out his apostleship to the Gentiles, which God had given him that responsibility. Now, in the fourth chapter, in verse 10 through 13, is what we want to focus on. And I'll go ahead and tell you what we'd like to accomplish with this evening, folks, in these few minutes for devotion. And that is, we understand what contentment is that Paul talks about. I thought about beginning by saying, are we contented? Are we contented? I remember very well when my brother-in-law, when I was a kid, started a dairy business, and they were always talking about contented cows back then. Generally speaking, we understand contentment to be a sense of relaxation. But let's look at these few verses to begin with. Paul says in chapter 4, verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now listen to what he says. "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And I would encourage you to focus on that last verse. It's the key to understanding what Paul was trying to get through. And if there was ever a situation which portrays to us what Paul means when he talks about contentment, it's when he and those with him were in prison in Philippi, and all for no other reason except that they had been preaching Christ. And they were singing and praying under those kinds of situations. Now, when it comes to contentment, we might remember that the Stoics of biblical times, that group of philosophers had a different definition altogether in regard to contentment. To the Stoic, contentment was an absence of all feeling, all emotions, all things mental. And if there is a phrase that would have described their understanding of contentment, it would have to be, "I don't care." Whatever happened to them, whatever happened to their families, their answer was, "I don't care." And what that consisted of was them so conditioning their mental telegraphs or paths, if you will, as to not care about anybody or anything. And they did that simply by strength of will. Now, the Apostle Paul was different from that, because the Apostle Paul ascribed his ability to deal with all situations as being from Jesus Christ. Because he said, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me." I perceive of the Apostle Paul, when they were in prison for no reason other than preaching Christ, I can imagine what their prayers would have sounded like. And we know from reading all of Paul's letters in the New Testament of how often he turned to Christ in prayer. How often he turned to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Contentment, if you want a definition of it, is that it's entirely self-sufficient. No desire, no emotion, no feeling, "I don't care," by an act of the will. An act of God in everything. The Stoic simply said this: "If anything happens to me, It was God's will. If anything happened to my family, it was God's will. Whatever circumstance he encountered, it was God's will. Paul, on the other hand, said God is sufficient. Verse 13. He was contented because he could do all things. He could endure all situations through Jesus Christ, which strengthened him. Well, the verse means to abound, to be abased everywhere in all things, in times of hunger. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. His contentment came from Jesus Christ. Now, I submit to you that there is a, what I would describe as a surface contentment. And that means that we are feeling good physically. We are feeling good maybe financially. In other words, our life here on this earth is in pretty good shape. Until one day of a tragedy enters into our family. A child dies. A mother or father dies. A spouse leaves. We're informed that we don't have a job anymore. Any kind of tragedy like that in this life, that would upset our contentment as far as this life is concerned. But the things which Jesus Christ offered to the Apostle Paul and what he offers to us and to Christians of every generation, in fact, unto all men of every generation, what he offers to us is that even when those tragedies occur, we are able to deal with those tragedies. It may be hard from day to day. It may be hard from hour to hour to deal with those things which enter into our lives, but there is no question about it, beloved. Jesus Christ will help us, and we will be able to deal with those tragedies when they come. Whatever they may be, it doesn't matter. Christ is always there. I believe that that's the greatest contentment of all, is knowing in our own hearts and souls that Jesus Christ is there for us regardless of what happens or regardless of what might ever happen to us in our lives. So now, when the apostle said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know everywhere in all things, he said. That means that in his imprisonment, in his lack of things that he encountered throughout his life, he said, in all of these things, you know that Philippians were the only church that ever sent a gift to the Apostle Paul, that ever helped him. He was the only one. They were the only ones that Paul ever let help him. But we have that Christ has offered to us, that Paul has offered unto us. Now, one other important thing, and that Paul says in the beginning of this passage we read, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It's a learning process. Every day is a learning experience, folks. Every event in every day is a learning experience. The key question is, do we take every learning experience to heart? Do we actually act accordingly to that which we have learned on a daily basis? And those of you who have suffered more than one tragedy in your life, you know what we're talking about. You understand what we're talking about. We ought to be learning every day how to become stronger and stronger in our love for Jesus Christ. Stronger and stronger in our faith. More determined to live and draw closer to Him every day of our lives. That's what I believe Paul is trying to get across to the Philippians here when he is talking about contentment and learning to be content, even as he did. Consider where he came from. The most outstanding Pharisee, the most outstanding Jew of his day. And all of that was taken away from him whenever he met Christ on the road to Damascus and said, what would you have me do? And Christ told him. And what Christ told him was that you go into Damascus and there it'll be told you what to do. And he went into Damascus and there it was told him what he must do. And the fellow that came to him that was sent by the Holy Spirit or by Christ told him what to do. He was going to have to be baptized for the remission of his sins. And the Apostle Paul did that. After he had confessed a belief in Jesus Christ and repented of those sins of trying to destroy Christianity, what he had been trying to do. And you know something, beloved? What the Apostle Paul did after his meeting with Christ on the road to Damascus, we can still do today. Still today, that invitation that Christ extended in biblical times is open to all. If we'll confess our belief in Him as the Son of God and our Savior, if we'll repent of our sins as He instructed Matthew 10:32-33 and numerous other passages, and if we will submit to being immersed or buried in water for the remission of our sins, when we arise, we will walk in newness of life. When we arise, we will be spiritually cleansed from our sins. And we then can do as the Apostle Paul said when we pursue this contentment of which he speaks. Are you here tonight and you've never done that? Or are you here tonight and you have done that years ago, but you've drifted away? Tonight is the time to come on. Have it corrected. Even as the Apostle Paul would say, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Do it. Don't put it off. It might be too late if we do. So will you come as together we stand and sing?